Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Growth and development, increasing population, clogged roads, newcomers, the need for more infrastructure, the Panthers. None of these is exclusive to Charlotte. They are a fact of life for the entire region. Recently, we've been looking into growth's impact on our surrounding communities, and just a few months ago, we took a deep dive into how the towns in northern Mecklenburg County have been handling all of this. Today, though, we crossed the border into South Carolina for a similar exploration of the effects of growth on Fort Mill and Rock Hill, and who better to talk about this than the mayors of those towns. Gwen Savage is the mayor of Fort Mill, the first female mayor, but not before devoting many years of service to the town. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Nice
Thank
to have you.
You
here.
Happy to be here.
And John Geddes is here. He's mayor of Rock Hill, where explosive growth is about to go on steroids as the Panthers prepare to move their practice facilities and corporate headquarters to that town. Welcome to you as well.
Well, thank you. I feel like I've arrived.
Well, it took you a long time, didn't it? An hour and 10-minute commute.
It took a little
today.
While to get here this morning. That's okay.
That's growth and development.
Just made the anticipation of being here that much better.
I'll bet. That's a nice way to say it. If you'd like to join our conversation, feel free to. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org. Search for WFAE on Facebook. Get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. Well, you could even watch us this morning on Facebook Live. So how long have the two of you been residents of Fort Mill and Rock Hill? I'll start with you, Gwen.
I'm a third-generation native,
wow.
And I've been in Fort Mill all my life, so 63 years.
Wow. John?
I moved to Rock Hill when I was 13. Went off to school and then came back to practice law right after law school and graduate school. But my family's been in Rock Hill for generations.
So you know both of these towns like the backs of your hands.
Absolutely.
Or you used to. They've changed so much. Do you really know them as well as you used to?
I think we do. I think that there's a very nice blending of the old and the new. And I think John and I both share a strong desire to protect and preserve the sense of community and the beautiful foundations that have been set for Fort Mill and Rock Hill, but also accept with excitement the new that is to come.
So put on your Chamber of Commerce hats for a second or
sure.
two here, because your two towns are about, what, 10, 15 minutes away from each other, depending on traffic on I-77. Is that right?
If you went that way, if you went the way the crow flies, a river separates us.
Yes. That's true. So put your Chamber of Commerce hats. If I'm sitting in, I don't know, Sheboygan.
Wow.
I don't know. It just popped into my head. And I'm thinking I'm coming to Charlotte. But I see these two towns south of Charlotte. Why would I want to move to your town, John?
Well, Rock Hill is a community on the move. We have a lot of good things going on that we've been working hard, planning for, coming up with strategies, seeing those to realization, working hard to make sure that our infrastructure is underground so we can handle you, the new person coming to our community. And we're really stressing two things, I think, in our community these days. One is how do we, as Mayor Savage said, how do we protect our identity? How do we make sure that as big as the Charlotte metro region grows, we're not part of Charlotte. We'll always be Rock Hill, and we'll always be Fort Mill, and we will be. And then the second is, how do we make sure that this growth that's coming to our community, this wealth that's coming into our community, how do we make sure that all of our people get to see the benefits of that? How do all of the people in Rock Hill have opportunities that they haven't had traditionally,
okay.
For whatever reasons? And so we're breaking down barriers in our community, as Gwen is in Fort Mill, and really creating a sense of energy that I've never seen in Rock Hill right now that's just really fun to be part of.
Okay, Gwen Savage, Fort Mill, sell me.
Actually, I think one of the largest draws for anyone that wants to move to our area is our school district. We have a second-to-none school district in Fort Mill, and I find that to be because of all the effort that's put into that educational system by our community. We want to be hallmarked by providing our children and our families with the best start possible. More recently, we've had some great economic development growth in Fort Mill, where we've brought more than 5,000 jobs to the corridor there at 160 and 77, so that those kids we're educating at a very nice level will be able to actually work in our area and contribute back to the community that gave them what they needed for a good start.
So both of your towns are places a lot of people who move here and work in Charlotte want to live because of the lower cost of living, the lower South Carolina taxes. The school district perhaps is a draw as well in Fort Mill and probably in Rock Hill. Why do you think you're continuing to grow in terms of the fact that why do you think after your commute here this morning, that desire to live there to offset costs has not been offset by the traffic to get to Charlotte if you work in Charlotte? That would be a major negative for me.
And I agree with that. What we're trying to do in Rock Hill is create a business-friendly environment for these tech-related jobs. We have a program right now ongoing in our downtown area called the Knowledge Park Action Plan, where we're attracting these millennials to our community. A large portion of the people moving to the Charlotte metro region now are millennials with education behind them and good educations behind them. And how do we, when we're competing with the other cities around the Charlotte area, how do we make sure that we speak to what they're looking for in a community? If they move to Rock Hill and live in Rock Hill, we want them to work in Rock Hill. One thing we do very well in Rock Hill is we play well. We have an unbelievable mixture, I think, of sporting venues and opportunities where you can get involved, whether it be BMX Supercross, whether it be our new indoor sports facility, which will be opening this fall, whether it be Cherry Park, where we play softball. You know, we have so many NFL players that have come out of Rock Hill. It just shows that we have a community, I think, where we can speak to the whole person, the whole life. So when you do move to the Charlotte region and choose to live in Rock Hill or Fort Mill, I think you're choosing not to live there and work in Charlotte anymore. I think our goal is to make sure you choose to live there and work there in Rock Hill in this new economy we have.
I think, too, we're a society today that we want it all. We want to be able to drive to see the Panthers play. We want to be able to see the Hornets play. We want fine theater. We want fine dining. But we also want that sense of community that a smaller area provides. In Fort Mill, when you go to the grocery store, you will run into someone you know. Our school district connects us. Our sense of community is second to none. And I would say, given the environment in the country today, there's nothing that we should seek any stronger than a sense of community.
What's more important to your constituents, managing this incredible growth that both your towns are going through right now, or preserving what the uniqueness of Fort Mill and Rock Hill? What's more important to your constituents, Gwen?
I think it's equally important, because in Fort Mill we have a similar but different story. Rock Hill's a good bit larger than Fort Mill. And in Fort Mill, when I grew up, everyone worked for the Springs company in some form or fashion. So everyone knew everyone, and we were all dependent on that for our living. And then when NAFTA was passed and the textile industry had the significant shift, our town could have dried up. So anything that's new and positive. We have a resurgence or renaissance on our main street with restaurants, and it's a vibrancy we haven't seen since Springs was the matriarchal family that kept Fort Mill together. So I do think that we can embrace both. I think we can embrace the beautiful parts of having a generational history, and then the exciting parts of being able to experience, as John has said, things we weren't privileged to see before.
Same question.
I agree with Mayor Savage. I always agree with Mayor Savage, I should say. But it's true. And I can speak for Rock Hill. We've spent a lot of effort in the last 10 years to put our infrastructure in the ground so that this growth that's coming, we're ready for.
Right.
And so I think we're a little bit ahead of the curve. We're enlarging our water plant right now, our wastewater plant to come. But to me, it's our identity, far and away, what we have to maintain, because we can get gobbled up. We've seen that in other metro areas. We have to remain who we are.
I'm going to wager that the answer to this question may be different in Fort Mill than it is in Rock Hill. But how many people who live in your towns are newcomers, relative newcomers, versus people who have been, like yourselves, lifelong residents? And of the newcomers, where are they coming from? Are they coming from Charlotte in North Carolina, or are they coming from other parts of South Carolina? Are they coming from all around the country? So it's a twofold question, John.
Well, I think we do see a lot of people moving from Charlotte into the Rock Hill area, or at least anecdotally it feels that way. But I think it's probably a little broader net than that, that we see people moving to our community from all around the country, mm-hmm. coming to Charlotte. And then once they're determining when they're getting to Charlotte, where they want to live mm-hmm. in the area of Charlotte, as you mentioned earlier, our cost of living is lower than at other places. Gas is cheaper in Rock Hill and York Hill and Fort Mill than it is anywhere else. So, you know, we do have some draws, I think, that pull anyone who's moving to the Charlotte metro region.
I think that we, too, see many people that come to our area for work in Charlotte and expand their search for a home just over the border. Mm-hmm. I worked in downtown Charlotte for 19 years, and it could be a 15-minute commute. It could be a two-hour commute, depending right. on traffic. Things have changed dramatically over the period of time that I no longer work downtown. I do think everyone is seeking something unique to their desires. Proximity to the airport is critical for many business people. Proximity to the work environment is also very critical, along with the things we enjoy. So I believe we're, I come from a time where everyone was from Fort Mill. You can find their names pretty much everywhere. My graduating class from high school was 100 people. We now have three high schools that edge well over 1,000, 2,000 students each. Wow. And that's not that long ago. Right. We will, with the census, I think we will have doubled our population in 10 years.
Now let's talk about that for a second, because York County reports the county's population is up 21% since 2010. Fort Mill's is up 84% in the same time. Rock Hills has risen 12%, I believe, but you were already pretty big in the first place. Mm-hmm. Antigua K has also exploded. Their population is up 43%. What's been the impact of that? That's enormous.
It is enormous. I can speak to that. We were the fastest growing municipality of our size in the country in 2018. Or 2018, we were third. 2017, we were first in the country. And I read a Wall Street Journal article about Apex, North Carolina, and how it is such a magnet for new growth, millennials, and the people that are looking for that aspect. And I think Fort Mill is too. We have a greenway that is second to none. It's over 2,000 acres of set-aside property in perpetuity.
And you had
to
money
enjoy.
To complete it, unlike Charlotte?
Actually, Springs has taken the brunt of providing that for its citizens. They always have. They've been a wonderful family to our community. We certainly are stressed with the traffic issues because you have to drive through Fort Mill to get to Rock Hill. And from Rock Hill to Charlotte, you have to drive through Fort Mill. So, you know, we have some pass-through traffic that is, you know, adding a lot of people from Indian Land drive through Fort Mill to get to Charlotte.
Rock Hill was recently named an All-American City.
Yes, sir.
2019. It's a distinction that they give 10 cities across the country every year. What does it mean to Rock Hill to have that designation?
Well, I think, to me, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and that was just a wonderful experience for us as a community to go out to Denver and compete against 20 other communities to see if we could be named an All-America City. The real benefit of that, though, was shown, I think, in our presentation out there in the competition, in that what we did is we took a bunch of trunks, you know, luggage trunks with us, and got before the judges and had a poem that we worked through. And basically we made the argument that, you know, we, like every other community in our country, have baggage. Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to do in Rock Hill is use that baggage and transform it into opportunities. And so to me, the All-American City designation isn't winning. It's being able to show not what the city of Rock Hill is doing, but what the people of Rock Hill are doing to make our community one for all.
That's John Geddes. He's the mayor of Rock Hill. Gwen Savage is with us. She's the mayor of Fort Mill. When we come back, we're going to talk about downtown renaissance and transportation, among other things. It's Charlotte Talks. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Our guest today, the mayors of Rock Hill and Fort Mill, John Geddes and Gwen Savage, respectively. As we have learned, as we've been going around the Charlotte region, talking to the various mayors of Cornelius and Davidson and Huntersville and Matthews, I'm trying to remember all these places we've talked to, Waxhaw, Belmont, etc., we've discovered that just like Charlotte has opened up its downtown suddenly, in the 80s we all know that downtown Charlotte was a vast wasteland after 5 o'clock at night, and the same was true in all these small towns. Suddenly these small town downtowns have blossomed again. They are vital again. Why is that happening? Let's start with Fort Mill here, Mayor.
I think, again, that sense of community and connectedness is found when you can get out and walk.
But the Walmart's still there.
You can walk and find fine food on Main Street, Fort Mill, at Local Dish, the Improper Pig, the Town Tavern, Hobo's, Southern Sugar.
Local Dish is a place you can't get into.
No, that's correct.
It's really, because it's good.
Fantastic salmon, I'm just here to tell you. But it allows, we now have a brewery downtown, Amor Ortiz. They've brought a very nice group of people that ride bikes together once a week or run together. It allows, we have a very small downtown by comparison to Rock Hills. Our main street is very tight, and it's just a two lane, right, you know, very tight situation.
So I was wondering, in both these cases, because we're going to talk about the explosive growth in downtown Rock Hills, well, in both cases, is this organic? Did it just happen? Or was it purposeful? Did you purposefully target that street, that area of your community for redevelopment and a renaissance?
Well, I think we certainly have targeted downtown, but I can't say that we've taken all the credit for that. It's certainly those that have chosen to invest downtown. Our business people are fantastic. They take a run of risk to come and work to revitalize an area that was pretty quiet previously. The town is working to help with that. We do road closures. We do help them with events like the Downtown Jam. We just had the world's first hottest pepper eating contest this past week. We're building a beautiful...
Did you try one?
No way. I'm just saying, Puckerbutts the Reaper would kill me. But we're building a new amphitheater downtown. We have a bow tie business downtown that's internationally renowned, Mr. Hanauer and his bow ties. We have a drum and bugle corps that have won internationally. So I think even though we're a small town still, we're very large and flavorful, if you will.
So Rock Hills downtown, which I've watched over the last 4 or 5 years grow and develop, is astounding to me in some ways because of the residential development that is going in, condos and apartments, and they're on the main street and just off the main street of downtown Rock Hill. How is that happening? Because this requires developers getting interested.
Well, it requires the city.
Because you're building buildings
to
accomplish this.
In 1970, the city of Rock Hill built its first parking deck downtown.
Okay.
4 years ago, it built its second parking deck downtown next to an office building. 5 years from now, we'll have 8 parking decks in downtown Rock Hill. And those are coming because of this growth that you talk about. And that is the big element that needs to happen for this growth to occur. People have to be able to park to get into their business, to get into their apartments or their condominiums or wherever they are. And so the city plays a vital role in making sure that for that development to occur, the public has to be a partner in seeing that happen. So it's been a real good relationship between the development community and the people of Rock Hill.
Well, we know that downtown living is something that millennials want. They want to be close to where they work. They want to be close to entertainment and restaurants. And that's being done here in Charlotte through all the development you're seeing in South End and even uptown. But why Rock Hill? Why is it millennials occupying these new residences you're building downtown?
No, it's really not. It's a little bit of everything. You know, we have 3 colleges in Rock Hill. We have Clinton College, York Technical College, and Winthrop University. And so that helps a lot. It brings a lot of vibrancy. We have we're very well known for sports tourism, which I mentioned earlier, and so I think we're a fun town. I mean, if you want to go somewhere to find something to do, to play, to ride bicycles, to do whatever it is, you know, it's in Rock Hill. And when you look at all this growth coming, and we just opened up a new public bus system. It's free.
Which we're going to talk about.
Anytime. Yeah. It's all electric.
I know we're really going to talk
yes.
about it.
So it's a wonderful amenity, and that's sort of where the city is playing its role right now, is how do we provide elements to break down these barriers to opportunity for all of our people, while at the same time creating amenities that draw even more people yeah. to our community and let them enjoy life.
20, 30 years ago, you'd get off the interstate at 160, and Fort Mill High School would be off on the other on the Fort Mill side, and Baxter Village would be on the other side, and then you had the downtown strip, which was kind of nothing.
Sleepy.
And a couple of neighborhoods. Well, now you've got all this development and buildings going up. You're the home to a really large retirement community on the outskirts of Fort Mill. What is that doing? Because I know that the demographics tell us that the population of York County in general is aging. You have this retirement community, which is for active adults. It's not a nursing home community. It's an active adult community. What's that doing to Fort Mill?
We actually have very close proximity to Sun City off of 521.
That's what I'm talking about.
Carolina Orchards is a retirement community in Fort Mill that's right near 21 in Springfield.
Okay.
It is incredible how quickly that has populated. And in looking at that, we do have opportunities for downtown living. Those folks are really active, as you have mentioned. They want to have a pool, tennis courts, walking trails. So we've looked at ordinances and in new development, the requirements to have larger sidewalks and the meandering trails that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. We look at what we offer. You know, we're looking at pickleball and some of the things that will, you know, at least provide those same opportunities to an aging demographic. But I don't think it's any surprise that we baby boomers are going to be a tidal wave coming through and are going to be able to hopefully address some of the needs of those that are aging, like myself. And we do have to pay attention to traffic patterns, bus service, how do we move people from area to area. I don't have the same problems that John does from, you know, Rock Hill's a much larger geographic location. Fort Mill's a little more connected from the standpoint of where we're pretty much from the nucleus out.
Okay.
So we don't have the same issues.
You are also in Rock Hill, John. You've got several additional multifamily projects lined up for
That's
city
correct.
Approval this fall. And that and the city has been very clear, if I understand this correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, that developers have to include affordable housing in their plans for at least 10% of the units. I got so many questions about this because we talk about affordable housing on this program almost every week with regard to Charlotte. Are all these affordable housing units going to be downtown, or are they scattered throughout the city of Rock Hill?
Yeah, what we're having right now is a real robust discussion about affordable housing in Rock Hill before it really hits us. You know, we don't have the population explosion that we've seen because we've held back on residential growth. We've pulled in multifamily from the outskirts of Rock Hill to downtown so that we're not, and I'm just going to use a bad word, littering, but not lining them up on the interstate. So in pulling all these folks downtown, we're talking about how do we make sure that people that work in Rock Hill can afford to live in Rock Hill.
Right.
And so with these new developments in the downtown area initially, and that's what we're focusing on, and these are not by ordinance right now, they're just in negotiation. If you'd like to do a deal here, tell us how you will include affordable housing.
Do they have to?
Well, they want to negotiate with the city to be located there. The city owns the property on which they want to purchase in order to build these multifamily units. So they don't have to do anything.
Because in Charlotte, the city doesn't have any stick. They can say, we'd really like you to make X number of units, affordable housing units, but we are a Dillon Rule state.
Right.
So that we have to get the legislature's permission to do anything like that. Can you do that in South Carolina as a municipality?
You have to have the legislature's approval, but we own property. And so that property is up for development.
I see.
So we can contract with you, a developer, to purchase the property the city owns, and we can make terms on that. Now, will we give you a little higher density if you'll include affordable units? Sure we will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will you do some other amenities that will help you as well and the community downtown? Sure we will. But we're adamant that we're going to have affordable housing in downtown Rock Hill.
Is that a concern for Fort Mill too?
Yes, from the standpoint of our property values, because of the niche we hold between Rock Hill and Charlotte, our property values are very high, given consideration for the location. So it's very difficult for the working populace to afford a home in Fort Mill. So we do have that on our radar, but we do not own any land as a town. We're not in that business, and it's a different issue for us. Very fortunately, again, the Springs family built an area in Fort Mill called Avery Lakes, and it was very much targeted for working and retirement, you know, folks that wanted to be in our community but didn't have that opportunity. So it's all about land value when it comes to how do we make that happen. And our land value's very high.
Yeah, there's this natural tension between the planning department and economic development department. Mm-hmm. You have to figure out how everybody gets what their call is, but to do it in a way that benefits all our people.
You have also said, John Geddes, that you'd like to see employers in your city of Rock Hill pay everyone a livable wage.
I agree.
You're a Democratic. Those are your words. Of course, you do.
These are nonpartisan seats we hold in Rock Hill.
So you're not necessarily a Democrat.
We're nonpartisan elected officials.
Sure, sound like one. in a Republican state and a Republican congressional district, is there an appetite among corporate leaders to do that?
I think there is. I think we have a lot of employers in Rock Hill that pay a living wage now. I think you can't have the kind of workforce that you need in the new economy and not pay a living wage. But all we're doing in Rock Hill as it stands is the city of Rock Hill is paying its employees a living wage.
Because you launched a project providing the tools young adults need to land a job, paying a livable wage, which is $14.50 an hour in Rock Hill for a family of four with two working parents.
That's correct.
How does that project work? How does that work?
Well, right now, the city of Rock Hill pays a living wage to all of its employees, which is new. We started that last December. Since then, I've heard from York Electric Natural Gas, or York County Natural Gas, they're paying a living wage to their employees. And I'm using, the bully pulpit of the mayor's office to try to help people understand we all gain when we're paying a living wage to our employees. That's a good thing for us as a community.
Well, York County Republican Congressman Ralph Norman, who has been on this program, recently spoke about several things in Rock Hill, among them his opposition to the Raise the Wage Act, which proposes to make the minimum wage $15 an hour. Is that a congressional act? Raise the Wage Act?
That is a national act to make that the minimum wage around the
country. So he says that would take jobs away from young people, and he said, quote, it's dumb. You don't do that. It's dumb. What's your response?
Well, Ralph's a good friend of mine, and we sometimes disagree on what good policy is going forward. But in our community of Rock Hill, when we're attracting these young folks that are coming to downtown Rock Hill, we want those with disposable income, because individuals with disposable income help rise that sea level, if you will, so that everybody has more opportunities. What we're doing in our community is we also have some workforce development initiatives. One of them we've partnered with a group called BEL, that's the Black Economic Leadership League, so that we're getting more of our folks that are underemployed into our local technical college for certificate programs so that they can graduate in 2 or 3 months with just a certificate and make $40,000 to $50,000 a year. That's the business we should all be in, the business of telling what's good or not for Sheboygan or other communities around the country. I'm not in that game. I know Rock Hill, and I know paying a living wage voluntarily by our employers for our employees is the right thing to do. At my law firm, we did not pay a living wage to all of our employees. When we started this, of course, we do now. The law partners and I agreed to go along and do that, and we have seen a remarkable increase in what we're able to do at our law firm, not just because we're paying a livable wage, but it defines who we are as a law firm.
Is this a concern in Fort Mill, this whole livable wage idea, or are most of your residents above the need for that, given the price of housing there?
You know, that's an interesting question. Demographically, I feel certain we have folks in every sector. We do not have any of the colleges or technical schools that Rock Hill does, but they're within a 10-minute drive.
Absolutely.
And certainly with the school district that we have producing 90-plus graduation rate and higher education scholarships, it's incredible what our school district does. It's pretty phenomenal. But I think that, you know, we, too, are looking at what is appropriate for our future. And I think the technical education side of things is something that we, too, we'd like to have a satellite and have those courses for our students. We want people not just to live in Fort Mill. We want them to work there, to play there, and to spend their money there.
So we have a web comment, as people have been listening, and it concerns road development. What new road development is planned in both of your communities? Because right now, they say, one accident equals total gridlock everywhere. When?
Can't deny that we have issues with gridlock at times. We are currently undergoing some minor changes to 160 to eliminate left-hand turns that were causing, if you will, a gridlock on 160 and couldn't get across town. So we're making some of those changes. We're on the charts for a significant shift at Gold Hill and 77 to go to a diverging diamond, and that's going to start the end of this year. And then I understand that we were going to do a diverging diamond at 160 and 77, but now it's going to be a SPUI, much like what you see at Tivola. I know the acronyms are ridiculous. We have large businesses at that intersection, Domtar, LPL, and Lash, that their employees need to get to work. They need to get to work.
Yes, and get home.
So we certainly acknowledge that there is an issue there.
John.
Well, the state of South Carolina historically has not funded road repair as we needed.
Right.
And thanks to our local representative, Gary Simrell, in the House, that's been changed. A few years ago, we went up on the gas tax, and he actually, in negotiating all that, was able to tweak it so York County gets more money back for roads than we've ever had before. And I'll tell you, that's not the comment you hear in town today. The comments I get in town today are, when are you going to stop this road construction so that I can get where I want to go?
Well, that's always the problem, isn't it?
That we've got new roads being built. We've got repairs being made to our major roads right now everywhere. And that's a good thing. That means we're solving the problems that we've been suffering from for quite some time.
I'm going to, when we come back, we're going to talk about your new bus system because it's all electric. It's the first of its kind in the country.
From scratch.
We'll talk about that, and it's free. I'm moving. We'll be talking about that, and we're going to talk about something else that I thought I would never. The idea of skyscrapers and Fort Mill. I didn't think it would ever come out of my mouth. It just has, because that could be on the horizon. Really. We'll talk about that. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE with the mayors of Rock Hill and Fort Mill, John Geddes and Gwen Savage.
Hey y'all, this is Tommy Tomlinson. On this week's episode of Southbound, we talked to David Crockett, who for years was an announcer for Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, one of the greatest wrestling shows of all time. You can find this and every episode of Southbound on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, and WFAE.org.
Support for Southbound comes from Southeast Radiation Oncology Group.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're here with the mayors of Rock Hill and Fort Mill, John Geddes and Gwen Savage. You wanted to follow up, Gwen, on traffic.
Yes.
The traffic situation
yes.
in Fort Mill.
I think it's pretty intriguing that we see the traffic that's in front of us. Or, you know, we are always looking at how do we deal with getting where we need to be. Someone said to me that Charlotte's a great town. Everybody drives there. You know, so if you look at the dynamics of traffic, it is not just per location. We participate, John and I both, in a regional perspective on transportation in which we get state and federal funding. And that funding gets distributed where the need is the greatest. So we're looking at oftentimes, some of the areas that feel like pinch points to us as residents and trying to get here and there aren't as high on the list. John and I both struggle with a lot of the money goes to the coast, to Charleston, to Columbia, where the interchanges are much larger and the volume of traffic is much higher. So it's understandable, but it's not that easy to deal with when you have constituents that think that your town has the opportunity to spend more money when in truth, we're all in this collectively, and that money goes according.
We live in the biggest metropolitan area in the Carolinas. This is it. I'm just curious, from your points of view in South Carolina, we have this ongoing battle with Raleigh. They don't like us. They don't understand us. They don't like us. They don't understand us. We're a second.
That's in the backwoods.
We're second. Really. Well, we're second or tertiary in their thought processes, and I kind of understand that to a certain degree. We're also an urban area. We have a Republican legislature, and they appeal more to people in non-urban areas, and they come from those areas. What's the situation with Columbia and Rock Hill? We're 3 hours away from Raleigh. It's understandable that they don't get us. You're an hour from Columbia. Do they get you?
They do now. I think historically we've had the same struggles, but our legislative delegation that's in Columbia with Gary Simrell and Tommy Pope and the rest of that crowd, Wes Clymer and Mike Fanning, they really are good advocates for us as a community. We're seeing more benefits from Columbia than we've seen in generations, I think, coming up to this area. I think soon we'll see some announcements that we're getting more funding for bridge replacement and others up and down I-77 from Columbia. We've never gotten that. You know, the Carolina Panthers are coming to Rock Hill because Columbia was able to make the things happen. And, again, Representative Simrell or Majority Leader Simrell made that happen.
So Fort Mill is one of the fastest growing areas in the region. Geographically, do you have room for this to continue much longer?
I think that we are running short on large tracts of land at this point. Much of the property that has been developed over the last 15 to 20 years has been generationally held from the very humble beginnings of Fort Mill. We actually have a birthplace that's denoted in Fort Mill. And from those families, the Spratt family and the Catawba Indians, it grew. There were a set number of families that were very agriculturally directed, and they owned large tracts. Well, as time has passed, you know, the divestiture of those properties has occurred. And that's where you're seeing the huge growth in and around Fort Mill, but because, there's not a lot more.
Because the Rock Hill Herald reports that to accommodate growth in the not-too-distant future, you may have to go vertical. Skyscrapers?
Really? I think that probably won't happen in my lifetime, but I have a short time left. I do think...
Has the experience here been that bad?
No. It's just I'm of that age to where I can see the beginnings of the end. No, actually...
You're making me sad.
Yeah, I'm just teasing. I think that skyscrapers are not likely. We do have a sense of community where we want it to feel like home.
As you pointed out during the break, making light of my promotion of skyscrapers in Fort Mill, 4 to 5 stories in Fort Mill is a skyscraper.
Sure.
And we're witnessing that in South End, where everything used to be 2 stories, maybe tops. Now it's going 4 or 5. We have a 23-story building going up, surprisingly, and that's the first of many, we are told, on the drawing boards in South End. Isn't it feasible that the same thing could happen in your communities?
I think the feasibility would depend on need. You know, most business people have a business plan that determines whether they can spend that money or not. And right now, I think that that need is met here in Charlotte with a very short drive to our communities. I wouldn't say never, but I don't see it on the horizon.
Speaking of drives to your communities, let's talk about light rail. Mm-hmm. Because we all know CATS wants to expand light rail in all these different directions. Are you talking to them about bringing the Blue Line or something like the Blue Line to Rock Hill and to Fort Mill? Are you talking about it? You'd want it? You'd welcome it?
Absolutely, we'd welcome it. It's going to happen at some point in time.
Is South Carolina going to kick in some money?
Sure it will. Absolutely will. But understand, Mike, if we agreed tomorrow to do light rail to Fort Mill and Rock Hill, it'll be 20 years before it's there.
Why?
Well, you got to plan it, and you got to get the land planning all together. You got to get the funding all set up figure all that out. So it'll
take. Do we have 20 years? When you look at the traffic today, do you have 20 years?
No, and I think we're behind the curve in doing that. I do think what we can control today in South Carolina is we can start identifying the route for light rail to come down our way and then make sure that we're doing the planning decisions for managed growth so that when it comes, we're not tearing down a building.
Has that process begun? It has to come to Fort Mill first. Has it begun there?
It has. We had someone come from the Charlotte transportation section. I've been on council 15 years, not just my mayor's term.
Right.
10 years ago,
okay,
and talked to us about that. The figures for doing it were astronomical.
Sure.
We're not talking millions. We're talking billions.
Right.
So the sheer value of it alone was difficult to comprehend. How would we get there?
Do you see this as a transportation or a development tool?
Transportation would be my choice. We certainly have a vibrant economic development council, one in Fort Mill, one in Rock Hill. Our county has economic development, and I think they're doing extremely well. But I do think Mayor Geddes and I both are interested in the transportation aspects of the people that we have. We have people to serve, not just those that are coming, but the people that we have we need to serve.
Rock Hill, in the absence of light rail, has started a bus system, a free bus system. Charlotte has just committed more money to buy newer buses, diesel buses. They looked at electric buses and decided that the technology wasn't right yet, because the range was not going to be enough for the Charlotte bus system. They didn't want the buses to run out of juice before they finished their route.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that, because then they got to be towed.
Right.
You can't just drop in and fill it up.
That doesn't make a good picture.
But you've done it. You have chosen all electric buses. Why? How can you do it?
Well, it's a fare-free bus system, meaning the people who want to ride.
So if it runs out of juice, it doesn't matter?
It means the people who want to ride don't have to pay, but it does cost money.
Yeah.
And the federal government pays a significant portion of the cost of that, both to purchase the buses and the operating cost annually. And then we've got very good partners in Rock Hill, Winthrop University, Piedmont Healthcare System, and Family Trust Federal Credit Union, who their boards have taken the position that making sure that all of the people of Rock Hill no longer have a barrier to wealth called transportation. And so they've come in and they help sponsor and supplement the cost or help pay for the cost of running this fare-free bus.
And is it true that as a result of starting this, and this started in July, if I'm not mistaken,
that
already some people who could not afford transportation not only can ride the bus, but they've gotten jobs as a result of being able to ride the bus. Is that correct?
That is correct. I've gotten emails, I've gotten Facebook posts about a homeless shelter where four of their individuals got jobs 2 weeks ago because they have transportation now. I know of a person at Winthrop University who had to walk to Winthrop across town every day, now walks a little bit of time, gets on the free bus that stops at Winthrop's campus. But more importantly, with these four routes, our target ridership is 4,100 riders a week.
Mm-hmm.
We started July 1st. This past week, we had 3,900 riders. Winthrop's not in session yet. Winthrop has a large international student population. So once those kids get into the community and now can get around our community, we'll far exceed our budgeted goals for ridership. So to call this a success is an understatement.
So
right now,
how many buses do you have?
We have seven buses that run four routes.
Okay, so they're electric. You're the first.
All electric.
You are the first bus system in the country to go electric from the start.
That's correct.
If it's not ready for Charlotte, why is it ready for you? How do you deal with seven buses, four routes?
Seven buses, four routes today.
What's the range? How long can they run before they have to be charged?
That's a great question. I wish I had my bus administrator in here that could answer it specifically. But we run these routes all day long from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Right.
And so with these buses, we'll insert one every now and then because three of our routes are hour-long routes. They'll go out and back to the central hub in an hour's time. One of them is a downtown circulator that makes two revolutions per hour. So
how long can it do that before it has to be charged?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who makes these buses? I'm just curious.
Proterra out of Greenville, South Carolina.
Really?
So we've got, now our electric, They're all electric. We are a part owner. Rock Hill is a member of Piedmont Municipal Power Agency, which means we're a part owner of one of the reactors at the Duke Catawba plant. So what Proterra says, I won't say this because I can't swear to it, but what Proterra says is our bus system has no carbon footprint because our electricity comes from nuclear, because of the way they build them and manufacture them, and then because they're all electric as they operate, we have no carbon
footprint. Who makes the batteries?
I don't know.
I'm just asking because you know it's an American-made vehicle.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a South Carolina-made
South Carolina-made vehicle.
That's very important.
You have said, John, out loud, what urban leaders in North Carolina certainly believe. You have said, people don't come to South Carolina; they come to Myrtle Beach, they come to Greenville, people come to Rock Hill. It is the cities that drive us. It is the cities that will save us. Does your legislature see it that way?
John Kennedy said that something similar to that when he was president. He said that we as a nation neglect our cities at our peril. And I think that's been borne out since he was president. And I think that's what we see with good, strong cities, good, strong mayors and city councils who know how to identify goals, create strategies to get those goals, and follow through and do measurements to do that. Cities, we solve problems. You know, we look at things in a pragmatic view. We're not going to sit here and debate a living wage or debate why something might be stupid or something like that. We'll solve problems. That's what we do. That's what mayors do. We solve problems every day, whether it's transportation, in some communities, education at Fort Mill, which is wonderful. That's what we do and who we are. And so if you're traveling and you're coming into South Carolina and you're going to take your children on vacation, you're not going to South Carolina. You're going to Myrtle Beach to dig in the sand to China with your grandchild to teach them how to body surf. You're going to Charleston to see a world-class port. You're going to Greenville to see how the textile industry's been reborn. And you're coming to Rock Hill and Fort Mill to see two of the most successful communities in the Southeast region, in my opinion.
And why? Because South Carolina is just right.
South Carolina, smiling faces, beautiful place. That's right. That's right.
I've seen the commercials. Both of your towns have, you're home to some big businesses. Gwen, Fort Mill has Shutterfly.
Yes.
Is it Domtar?
It is Domtar.
They are an industry-leading paper company.
Absolutely.
I sometimes smell them in my front yard. Lash Group, that's a medical company specializing in patient support services. Mm-hmm. And you have LPL Financial. What has the presence of those businesses meant to Fort Mill?
I think it's meant that the students that were graduating from high school have a place to go to work and earn a good living and give back to the community that raised them that they didn't have before. Our students, for that period of time after the textiles left, they had to come to Charlotte, they had to go to Dallas, they had to go to Atlanta, to New York, to get a job with the skills that they had acquired through their education. It's also meant that we have some great industry and business leaders that are interested in our community on all levels. I find it very simple to pick up the phone and call and talk with some of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet at Domtar. They've hired a lot of Fort Mill folks. It's just a good symbiotic relationship when you can have businesses that are sound, that are employment opportunities for your citizens, and that are interested in making your community viable.
So Rock Hill has become what you described, John, as an information and business hub. And you say that the town is now where it wanted to be for the last 30 years. You're the home, of course, of Winthrop University and two other educational institutions. But what really promises to put you on the map is you're becoming the headquarters location for the Carolina Panthers and the home to their practice facility, which I understand will seat 10,000 people and be able to be divided up into three segments so that you could hold three high school football games in that facility simultaneously. What's this going to mean for you when this happens in a year or two?
Well, you know, we continue to talk. We have meetings all the time with the Carolina Panthers organization, and it means several things for us. Number one, it means that we're going to have a lot of ancillary development that will come along with this to make our community something that, as you mentioned earlier, I think we are a successful community now, but I think we're on the verge of becoming significant. And I think that what the Carolina Panthers bring to us, not because of the football fields, which is very important, but it's the corporate campus that they're doing there. We're talking now about what that impact that has on our local airport. The runway is scheduled to be extended, mm-hmm. and the jets that will be housed on our airport are just phenomenal, not just from the Panthers organization, but from these other corporate CEOs that are going to move to the Panthers Business Park. To see that all that development come there and the wealth that that will bring and the opportunities that will bring to more of our people in our community.
We don't have time to talk about all of the green space and the recreational things that you have on the drawing boards and are in the process of developing. But what would you like your town to be like in 30 years? You have 10 seconds.
30 years, I would like for it to be one in which I can walk, hike, and see people I know.
Gwen Savage, Mayor of Fort Mill. John, quick.
I'd like it to be the community my grandchildren want to live in.
John Geddes is the mayor of Rock Hill. Thank you both for the hour.
Thank you.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.